Your Humanities Half Hour is brought to you by the Northern Marianas Humanities Council, Navigating the Human Experience Together.
Welcome to Your Humanities Half Hour. I'm Catherine Perry, and today we are sitting down with the 2023 Governor's Humanities Awardee for Lifetime Achievement in the Humanities, Señor Donald Beneventi Mineola. Welcome to the show.
Señor Masi, thank you for having me. Yes, I am Donald Beneventi Mineola, native of Saipan, Chamorro, Carolinian, Palawan, name it, I'm everything. I love everybody. Thank you, Freddie.
I like how you said you're everything, because when I look at all they had to say when you received this award, you really do have your fingers in almost every part of the culture.
Yeah, I like every culture. Not one very much in particular, because I treat all cultures the same. Oh. I value every culture. Yeah, even the American culture, all mixed up and everything. And although some of the influence that they've proven on our newer, younger generation may have somewhat been not advantageous for our elders, but I find that to be like part of evolution, so I guess it's okay. And I tend to understand people better by learning about their culture. Mm-hmm. Then I become very accepting. And then, of course, from that, I'm able to care for them genuinely. That's why I love everybody. I don't know how to hate anybody anymore. To be angry, it's a very big offense against humanity. So that's why I consider myself everybody, anything, everything, all kinds of ethnicity. We're all one race. We're all children of God, so I don't separate a person from another. And I don't consider one person not to be connected to me at all, because I am a spiritual person. I was born, raised by very religious parents and grandparents. I used to always go to church every day. I was in the choir when I was only 7 years old. I was a soprano. I sang with the Manamku, and from there I just kept following through with the leading of the Holy Spirit, I guess, and that's where it brought me over to this point. I'm a teacher, a healer. I don't call myself a witch doctor, so I correct my students when they say, "Señor, are you a witch doctor?" I go, "What do you think?" They say, "You're a doctor, but you're a witch doctor, right?" I go, "No, I'm not a witch doctor." Saying a person being a witch doctor, it's got a very negative connotation of a witch or a warlock, and so I just call myself as a healer. So my students at Hopwood are used to just referring to me as Señor the Healer, not Señor the Witch Doctor.
I think a lot of us are familiar with this word, Siruanu, traditional healer.
Yeah, traditional healer.
What exactly does Zoamti mean?
Oh, Zoamti, it's a new, we refer to traditional healers from the past, or even up to the present time, who are very effective healers. Zoamti means very effective healer. So that was coined, and it's been used in our group there in Guam with the Hadza Foundation at Zoamtis. I'm a member of that group in Guam. The president of the Hadza Foundation, Zita Pangilinan, was going around asking, like, should we use this Zoamti or Aamti or whatever? It's like, I like that term Zoamti, because Zoamti refers to very experienced, long-time healers, effective in whatever specific specialties that they're good in. That's when they refer to be Zoamtis, that's effective healer. So
you've shared how you kind of got on this path of learning traditional healing when you were like 4 years old or something like that.
Yeah, well, I vividly recall when I was 4 years old that when the neighbors had sties in Jawa, we call that Odun, lid, it could be the eyelid or any part of the eye that gets swollen. So they would bring them to my house, and my mom would be like, Lasa si tande sar tunda. And usually the elders would come over. And what they had me do is just get a finger and just run it through, like caressing the swollen part. And they would give me a quarter. Oh, I love that, because that's a lot of money. Quarters.
Oh, yeah.
It's more than what you need. Yeah, it's enough for the whole day at school. So I would just run my finger or my thumb over that swollen part of the eye. And then next day, I'd be like, is Tunwan coming over to today, mommy? He's like, I don't know. We'll see. And then he doesn't show up. Then I run over to his house like, why didn't you come over massaging? He goes, it's already gone. Oddun. We call that oddun.
Like healed? Or?
It just, we went away. Yeah.
Okay, went away.
Yeah. By doing that, so some people believe like you can use copper keys, put it in the freezer, then take it out and put it right where it's swollen, and it tends to relieve that swelling. But the Chamorros, the Manapku, would always call me to go to their places, or they would come over and I lasa them. Lasa is to massage, but it's basically just like caressing, just caressing, touching it, lightly just running your finger over it. And it goes away. So that's as far back as I can remember healing. And then also when there would be like sprained ankles, sprained arms, elbows, wherever, they would come over and just have me like, can you just touch it? Like, what am I gonna do? Just touch it, like the ankle of the foot. They would just tell me, just touch it, I just go like that. I mean, just play with it. So I would do that. And then they give me another quarter. The next day, they'll be fine. The swelling's gone, it doesn't hurt anymore, so. I was that young, and I remember thinking, how come I do that, others don't do that? And like, why isn't my brother and my older brother doing that? Why do I have to do it? Sometimes I would complain, but they never explained why.
Okay.
They just told me, you just got to do it because you're meant to do that. It's like, okay. And then I would hear them when they're talking. They go, why is he so good? And then my mom's like, mafanyagun patas. Like, I was delivered, I was born, and my feet came out first. I was breached. So that's what Manamku believe. That any breached child has the potentials of becoming a healer. And that didn't stop there. Then when I was about 8 years old, I was just very curious. I would just grab herbs, you know, leaves and grass and whatever, and just pound them up on a cutting board using my dad's hammer, and just mashing it, just trying to make a concoction out of the whatever leaves I grab around. Then I was so curious, so I went to my grandmother. My grandma, si Anna Babauta Mindyona, my dad's mom, a very elderly woman. I went there and asked her, I go, Nana, can you help me? Can you help me? She's like, what am I going to help you with? I go, can you teach me some things? You know, I was like, what? Can you teach me to make medicine? She looks at me, she's like, are you serious? You want to do that? You want to learn how to make medicine? I go, yeah. He goes, why? I want to help people. I mean, I want to cure them when they're sick. I want to help them. Right now, I'm just massaging them, but I want to do something more. She looked at me and was like, okay, come back tomorrow, but bring paper or pencil. So, you know, that time, it's very valuable to get white paper.
Oh, wow.
So what I had to do was just grab some of the paper bags from Jotun, mini Jotun from Salankanoa. So I collected them, and I just cut them up with scissors and tried to make them like nice and even. And then I took a pencil and went over to Grandma. And first of all, before I started writing things down, she took me out and she started showing me the plants, medicinal plants around the house, the ones that she planted. Just pointing them out and said, memorize that, okay. That was very good because I was told that I had photographic memory when I was younger. I don't know to the extent of that, but I was told that because I tend to just look at something and I memorize it very quickly. Mm. So when she was taking me around, I saw the plants and I memorized them very easily. Then after that, the next day we would come over, then she would bring some more. She would go around, go to neighbors and get some other things. And she would put it on the table. It's like, this is katsusu. Okay, this is sumac, you know, naming all the plants. Then I look at them and I memorize them visually. And then I can identify them. She would like scatter them or she would move them around. And then she goes, what was the name of this? And then I memorized it. I told her, it's good. Then the next day, the third day, I go, when I came back to start and continue with the lessons, I asked her, Nana, can you teach me to weave? Like, you want to weave too? I go, yeah, I wanna learn to make mats and costa tingbang baskets and hats, whatever. I said, ay, tinapadgon. I said, yeah, teach me. I said, okay.
How old were you at this time?
I was 8 years old.
Curious child.
Oh, I was.
Eager to learn.
Yes. Mm. I was always, yeah. All the manam, well, I was even younger when I was calling at the bingo. They allowed me to do that. So I was calling at the bingo. I was making money, racking in large coins for school. And I was just curious about everything. That's just me, I guess. I always got in trouble. I got spanked for trying to experiment with my dad's big bowl of machete and going around and just chopping down the neighbor's banana trees, just trying to find out whether he was really that sharp. And
well, this is very encouraging, I'm sure, for people, especially young people who are getting in trouble.
Yeah,
they could turn out to be a wonderful
exactly. They can learn how to make
aid to society.
yes. But I've always had that inside of me, that push, that drive to help others. Because when I see old people walking the road, I would run over. Can I help you? It's like, are you going to help me? Put your hand on my shoulder. So I would walk them over across to go to the neighbor to pitty, whatever. Mm-hmm. That might be, It always gave me a smile, left me with a smile when I makes me feel good when I did something to make him smile. So that's how I started. And right before I was 9 years old, I was already boiling some makpung and all these regular good cleansers for the family that I made for my parents, my grandma, and my aunts and uncles. And then when I was about 9 years old was when I remember when my uncle Frank Manibusan, I think you remember Aristona Manibusan, married to Roman Tudela Jr. She was my first patient that I treated when she was a baby.
Wow.
And she's like, 50 years old now, 51? Yeah, I pounded the medicine for her cold sores. Because when she was a baby, she was teething and she had sores and blah, blah, blah. So the mom and the dad came over and asked if I could make the medicine. I go, why don't you ask your mother? My aunts who taught me and passed on her knowledge to me. They call it Manibusan. And then my uncle goes, she told me to check you because you have the ingredients readily available around the house. So I said, okay. So I did that. I grabbed what I needed. I completed it. Then I just pounded it because I didn't have the mortar and pestle at that time because I was too young. They didn't give me anything. So I just used a wooden chopping board and my dad's hammer. I washed it, of course, and I pounded it in. I got some gauze and put it in there, dipped it in a little water. Then I squeezed it into the baby's mouth. Mind you, I was only 9 years old. I was so good at doing it. So the medicine went inside the mouth, and in about 5 minutes, she was asking for the susu. So I told the mom, give her. I'm like, but isn't she going to be in pain with the cold because sores. Of the because of the sores? I was like, no, it should be good by now. So took it out and gave it to her. That was just that one time.
That's a very common problem also for young babies. And the treatment is
that's
known.
Very common here. It's very common.
Yeah.
And the treatment, sometimes they go to the hospital for it, but they give them, antibiotics or some purple liquid thing that they put on their gums and stuff. Mm-hmm. But it takes a while. It takes about a week for it to heal. So it's faster if we made the amud patsut or mahulat. It's easier to use it. See, we have a lot of natural cures for natural illnesses, especially for babies, that are way quicker than at the hospital. The only time, I approve when they go to the hospital is because they need to be hospitalized. Mm-hmm. They need oxygen.
Urgent situation.
Yeah. Very urgent and very necessary kind of treatment. Mm-hmm. They have to be there. Mm-hmm. And at Hopwood, I've been teaching my students about, making excuses for babies, for children in particular, because I'm telling them, you should know this. I'm going to give you the recipe. I typed it up, made copies, and I give to each student in the 8th grade. So in preparation for when they need it, when they have their own kids, so that they can just make it themselves. I show them the ingredients, I bring it in, and then I make the concoction. I pound it in class with, my mortar and pestle, with all the ingredients. Then I give them their copies so that they can see how it's made. And then in the recipe paper that I give them, it's got the measurements of what they need. Because I want them to be able to prepare for when they become parents. But
do you feel that the students in your class today are connected, especially if they're indigenous Chamorro or Carolinian? How well do you feel the young people of today are connected to their culture?
Not very well. When we covered myself and Rebecca Sablan, my co-teacher, we've been working together for a long time, the students seem to enjoy the cultural part of the class more than learning the language. So back then when Dr. Rita Sablan was a commissioner of education, she had this service, she passed out to all the schools and just sent them out to the parents. And the data that we gathered, I worked with Rita, we were in that team, and we found out that between 67 to 73% of parents would rather that the kids be taught more about the culture than the language. And
but the language is the culture.
Language is part of the culture. Part
and
of the culture.
Culture is language.
The language is the culture, but culture is everything, including the language. So we teach them more about food, about medicine. I teach them weaving. We tell them stories in Chamorro with moral lessons. Those kinds of stories. I like to tell them stories about those that have moral lessons that they can really think. So it gives them, makes them become better critical thinkers. But see, if a student speaks two or more languages, and I believe that the student will become better critical thinkers, especially if they can think in two different cultures, two different languages, and they can work it out, then I find that their consciousness is a little more elevated than just a single one language speaker, one language thinker kind of a child.
It builds more neurons in the brain.
Yeah, more neurons in the brain. Yeah, it's just shooting everywhere. And so they become smarter, they're more intelligent. And they're knowing truth because they see it, and they understand it, they hear it. And so whatever truth they learn in school, and they start applying it in their lives, that's wisdom, because that's the action right there. When applying wisdom, it's action. So it's good. It's good for them. And I'm just hoping that I know 100% of them, not 100% of them are going to remember a whole lot of what I teach them, but I'm hopefully just, at least just them absorbing positive energy, because they like to go to my class. Students who are not my students, they come, sixth graders, seventh graders, they would come in. I'd be sitting with my co-teacher, Senora Sablan, and the kids would open the door, sixth graders. Good morning, Senor, good morning, Senora. Like, hi, who are you? Like, I'm a sixth grader, but I just wanted to say good morning, and we love you. Like, okay, we love you too.
That's the sweetest.
I know,
yeah,
I know.
Yeah, that's sweet.
That's why I can't get out of a PSS because of the intrinsic reward that we get from those kids expressing their love and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I don't even have them in my class. But
not yet, but they're coming.
Yeah, they're becoming.
Our guest today is a 2023 Governor's Humanities Awardee for Lifetime Achievement in the Humanities, Donald Benaventi Mendiola, and we'll be back with more after this break.
Hafaday, Zantiro. I'm Leo Pangilinan with the Northern Marianas Humanities Council. We'd like to take a moment to thank our generous sponsors who have made possible the many programs in our community like this show. We couldn't have done it without them. And if you value the work we do and would like to make a contribution to our efforts, we ask that you consider making an in-kind or cash contribution to the Northern Marianas Humanities Council. Any amount is appreciated, and donations of up to $5,000 qualify for an educational tax credit. We appreciate your partnership and support. Sizus Maasi, Olomai, and thank you.
Welcome back. Senor, I wanted to ask you practical advice from your lifetime to date. Looking at today's culture, what advice can you give us? Maybe the top two or three habits you feel we either need to break or incorporate as a 21st century community to maintain our health, mind, body, spirit, from a perspective.
First and foremost, because of what I do, I practice your spiritual life is first and foremost, because I believe that that is a priority. What happens in spirit affects their natural life. So when you heal your spirit, you work on it and you improve your spirit, then naturally, as it goes down, your natural life will come out as a balance. However, since I'm more spiritual than natural, I'm not very physical. I'm not one who goes out and jogs. I can't jog out there because I have a broken ankle from back in 1983. And so I'm permanently disabled. I can't run really. I can't walk too far. I can't stand too long because my foot would get swollen.
But you sure do get around.
I do, yeah. I walk and sit, and I travel. I'm asthmatic. I've been asthmatic since 1982. That's 41 years ago. And thank God, I've been doing well. I haven't had an asthma attack in like 7 years.
How do you maintain your own physical health, especially giving as you do of yourself to others? How do you take care of yourself?
That's what I said, being very spiritual. Most of what I do when I'm at home is I just sit and I contemplate. I commune with the divine. So as soon as I sit down, in my mind and in my heart, I focus on the Father. It's like, Abba, I love you. Here I am. So speak to me. Or God is very humorous too. You know, sometimes I would just ask them questions and he would respond and there'd be like a chuckle in my heart. It's like, oh, that's so sweet. And I believe in what Jesus said. When you take care of others, worry not about yourself because he will take care of you. So that's how my health, it's going to give me emotions again. Because I focus more on helping others rather than focusing on myself. You know how the saying is, like, take care of yourself so you can take care of others. That doesn't apply to me. What I do is I take care of others first. And I really believe, and it's really anchored in my heart and down to my entire soul, that when Jesus said that if I were to take care of others, that I should not have to worry about myself because he will take care of me. So I haven't had any illness in like decades. And I'm okay. I mean, I get checked and my blood pressure is still okay. And despite the fact that I want everybody to eat healthily.
That was right on what I was going to say. Do you eat healthy?
I do.
How healthy do you eat?
I like to eat lots of vegetables. I like to eat lots and lots of local root products. I like may. I like barbecue. I don't know may. Yeah, saibug lamb is my favorite. I like taro. Yeah. Of course, I eat rice. It's most of the time I have to eat that because I don't really plant any of those. So the people that I help heal would ask me, like, what do you like? Never mind, you know, because they offer me payments. I don't charge. I do this from my heart. So the next day, even after treating them for just one time, they would come back with dogu. They give me tapioca, bananas.
Do you prefer fish over red meat?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
And they bring me a lot of fish.
Like a real traditional Chamorro diet. The crops and the fish. Yeah.
I like barbecue fish with a limay.
What is the one thing you think...
I eat a lot of frittata, too. They know I like frittata. But
hey, at least you're honest.
Yeah, I can't lie about it. I like anis tucun. I like the very, very salty kind of fish, too.
And you said you eat a lot. That's really honest.
Yeah, because when I have anis tucun in a jar, I won't stop until I finish it.
So
once I start,
so they better give you a small jar.
No, it's okay to give me a lot, but then, you know, I'm okay because, of course, you have to drink a lot of water, coconut juice. Coconut juice is the best ever for cleansing. If everybody on this island, since there's a lot of coconuts in the jungle, if everybody can drink one coconut a day, that is very good preventive cure because it flushes, it releases and removes all the toxins from your body. And I also make cleansers. I make amotinino, sometimes I want makpo, some things that I just boil, put together around the house, and I drink it, so I flush myself. They ask me, are you diabetic? I'm, no. They go, how many candies do you eat at a time? I go, when I'm in the mood for candy, I can. Honestly, 5 Snickers can go very quickly. Less than an hour, I'll go through 5 Snickers, and I'll drink soft drink. But then I have something that's helping me. It's not luck, but it's good planning, I guess. I grab what I need around the house and just boil it and drink it. And it really flushes it. So when I take a leak and I look at the toilet bowl, it's like it's so oily yellow, so it flushes it all out. So that's how I keep
nice. That's a good healthy. Point. You know, yeah. like looking at what your body passes out yeah. is a great way to know yeah. what's going on
exactly.
inside the body.
Yeah. And then after drinking my brew, it comes out nice and clear. But yeah, my advice, eat local. Cut down on the sugar, too much sugar, not good. Even the diet drinks, be very careful, because I know that when I sit down and I contemplate and then all these things coming into my mind, like come from the spirit realm, is like, that's not very good, it's going to cause cancer, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, can't tell people that. But I do drink, eat what everybody else does. I like cakes. I don't stop with eating anything that's
Senor,
delicious.
I was trying to ask you healthy habits.
I'm just saying, I'm being honest. And but they help. No, really, the healthier habits is you can have your three meals and a snack, a merienda. But Lord, cut down the portion of the food that you eat. What you normally eat, cut it down. Like say, down to 3/4 of a portion, or maybe. If you want to lose more pounds, go down half, because that's going to help shrink your stomach too. So you don't have to have a big stomach to be able to consume more food. Mm-hmm. So that will exercise your stomach and make it shrink a little by eating half portions. That would be the best way. And eat healthily. What do you know? Everybody knows what's healthy and what's not healthy. Mm-hmm. So they needn't have to be given a lesson on this, because they can do it themselves. However, they have to be very conscious of doing that. They have to be aware. That's the thing about me now. Because I like to commune with the Lord, I like to pray. That's all I do every day. Even when I'm laying down to sleep, I sometimes find myself saying the divine mercy prayer in my heart and my mind. Then I just fall asleep. But I do that a lot. And then get in touch with your inner being, the place where God resides, and talk to him. He'll help you. He'll give you all kinds of good ideas. Let's try to purify our hearts, purify our minds. And God can do that, but without your cooperation, it's useless. So you have to want to do it. You have to have the right intentions, good motives to be a better person. But then to become a better person doesn't mean, like, so you can be more attractive and so you can be richer or all these things. But to be a better person, like the way we were raised, traditionally, in the olden days, we can be so more loving people towards our family, towards our neighbor, to our whole community. We have to want that so we can bring that back and we can live like the way we used to live 100, 200 years ago, and when everybody was very cooperative and we didn't have all these illnesses, because a lot of everything that we're suffering from is introduction but into our community, but we can also still remain healthy and well prepared to tackle the future by just being who we are, Carolinians, Chamorros, Filipinos. Let's get back to our spirituality. Let's cleanse ourselves. You know that real life, I mean, what's real life? It's your daily living. What do you find yourself thinking about at the present moment? Do you think about a better health for yourself and your family? More money, or would you rather be at peace, be content with what you have, and be happy and just attack every moment as you can? But try to remain in the moment so that you don't stress. That's why I believe that part of why I remain still healthy despite the physical appearances, I'm very content at the very moment. I don't stress about thinking about what I'm going to do tomorrow, the day after tomorrow, next week. And I just let it come as it comes. And I don't even delve back into the past, but except when I think of good memories. How can I repeat those nice memories? But not something to correct, because it's done already. So what I'm doing today is not a result of yesterday, but what I'm doing today is how I want to attack it, how I want to live it and make it a better moment for myself. And not just for me, like I said earlier. I tend to think more of others before I think about myself. That's why I'm so spiritual, and I love God with all my entire being. And sometimes I would sit down and I have tears just thinking about God's presence and my awareness that He's always around. I cannot not think about God, because I'm so dependent. It made me become very childlike. To the point, like, I'm a little kid where I'm, like, always depending on him. It's like, I can't do anything without him, without my awareness that I can't do it without him. That's how aware I am now with the Lord. Even getting up, like, just to stand up, I need God. To breathe, I need God. We're human beings. We're permitted to think the way we want to do. And we have free choice, and my choice is to do God's will. That's why I'm able to do these things, and I never call myself lucky, because we're all the same. It's not luck. Luck has nothing to do with it. It's God's grace, and God loves us all. God graces us all. It's just a matter of us responding or reacting to God's promptings. That's what we should all do. I guess it will happen for some people when they age more, or they become wiser. But when you're young, you're so happy, you're just jumping here and there. And when you're a very busy, hardworking father, you tend to be worried about it. But then maybe at times the family can get together, sit down. We have this weekly family gathering. We come together and celebrate on Fridays. We have happy hour, nice chasers. It's very healing. It's very healing. We're sharing love and good vibes. Then they go back home and they just pass it out to the family. We are very, very fortunate that we've had very good grandparents, and I'm very fortunate, and I'm always very grateful to all the manamku, my aunts, my uncles, great aunts, great uncles, and all the different ethnicity elders, Palawans, Carolinians. Oh my God, I love the Carolinians, like, especially like si Nambek Taitano. I was his querido, and she bestowed a lot of things she knew in healing and stuff onto me. And when I was a little kid, did I say that? I never hung around with my friends because I thought they were very boring. So I was always with the manamko. Yeah, I enjoyed the manamko. Yeah, I wanted to learn things and use the things that I've learned so that I can be like one of the manamko. I'm an amko already, so be a good amko and mirror what they did and apply it onto the young ones, help them out. And my house is open, my arms are open. I never turn anybody down who comes over for help, because I remember that saying that Jesus says, whatever you do to the least of my brothers, you do unto him, and do unto me. And so I don't want to turn Jesus down when he comes over, because I see him in everybody. So thank you.
Thank
Anything
you.
Else you want to say?
Well, there's a lot I want to ask, but
we're probably going to do another follow-up. Okay.
No yeah, problem. Seriously. Even though our time is short today, thank you for giving us. I want to say it's like the cream on top of your lifetime of achievement. You know, your insight into the importance of spirituality.
It's not mine. It's everybody's. It's everybody's. What I do for everybody.
Yeah.
Like I said, my life is just, I devoted to God. I'm not a priest, but that's fine, because God said that I don't have to be a priest to serve him, so I serve him in charity and stuff. So it's for everybody. So whatever I do, it's for everyone. It's my heart is with everybody. God first, and then the neighbor. That's how it is. So when I focus with God on God, then everybody else is included. Because that's second priority. What Jesus says, love God above all. Why do I go back to being this religious stuff? But I love God above all, and then I love my neighbors.
As
I
yourself.
Think before myself. It's weird, because it's not, I don't love my neighbors like myself. I love them before I love myself, because it's, when I asked him, so what does it mean when I do that? He says, you're applying something beyond spiritual. And then I ask God, like, because when I speak with him, it's no words, nothing. It's just thoughts and feeling. It's like you're reaching the celestial level. It's like, what's that? And then it's like, oh, and then I think, oh, no, I don't want to be one of those that's got wings and walking around. Then people be like me. Everybody's like me. I'm like everybody. We're all the same. The only difference is how we live our lives and what priority we make in our life as the foundation for how we should live our lives. So mine
Thank
is
you.
I love everybody. I live for everybody. For myself, nah, I put myself down. Not because I want to be first, but that's the truth of how I feel and how I should live my life. Simply, my 24-carat, 24-carat wooden necklace.
Thank you for sharing with us today.
Okay.
Our guest today has been Senor Donald Benavente Mendiola. He's the 2023 Governor's Humanities Awardee for Lifetime Achievement in the Humanities, but he still has a lot to give, obviously, and we look forward to sitting down with him again in the future. This has been Your Humanities Half Hour. I'm Catherine Perry.
Your Humanities Half Hour has been made possible in part by a major grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities, Democracy Demands Wisdom. Any views, findings, conclusions, or recommendations expressed in this program do not necessarily represent those of the National Endowment for the Humanities. For more information or to share your thoughts, contact the Northern Marianas Humanities Council at nmhcouncil.org. or on social media at 670 Humanities, that's 670 Humanities.